for their head coaching job. The Atlanta Falcons will interview former Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce for their head coaching job. Two-time Pro Bowl receiver Adam Thielen announced his retirement today after 13 seasons.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, Eugene, Oregon's Fall Creek Farm and Nursery's Peachy Blue Blueberry variety has delivered outstanding retail results at Sprouts Farmers Market stores nationwide. MorningAgClips.com reports Peachy Blues drove a 6% increase in total blueberry category sales last summer, ranking among the top 1% in sales dollars compared to other niche and innovative items. The Peachy Blue program, which began as a pilot in Northern California in the summer of 24, quickly expanded nationwide in response to strong consumer demand. This week's American Farm Bureau convention in Anaheim included a rare joint appearance of all four leaders of the Congressional Ag Committees, Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman and Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar, and House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson and Ranking Member Angie Craig were all on hand. They covered priority issues like passing a new farm bill, developing domestic and international markets, providing access to a stable workforce, and the importance of grassroots advocacy. Farmer sentiment weakened slightly in December as the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer Index dropped 3 points to 136. Weakness was attributed to a modest decline in producers' long-term outlook as future expectations fell to 140, 4 points lower than the previous month. The current conditions index was unchanged at 128. Angst about the prospects for U.S. soybean exports contributed to a slightly weaker outlook for the future.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations. The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are losing steam as investors digested the latest batch of bank earnings and readings on wholesale inflation and retail sales. The delayed producer price index report for November due to the government shutdown revealed that wholesale prices rose 0.2% from the previous month, 3% annually, while core PPI, excluding food and energy, was flat in November and rose 3.5% for the year. In the meantime, retail sales rose 0.6% in November, higher than expected. Shares of Bank of America and Citigroup were tumbling even after delivering profit beats. Credit card cap concerns are still weighing on banks. Shares of Oracle are down 5%. The software company was sued by bondholders who say they suffered losses because Oracle failed to disclose it needed to sell significant additional debt to build out its artificial intelligence infrastructure. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
It may surprise you to learn that there's a lot more to a cow than meets the eye or gets on the dinner table. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
I'm sure we all know that a beef animal isn't all steak. It has a variety of cuts, some more tasty and desirable than others. But when I say a steer is not all steak, I have something else in mind. Actually, that line is the title of an educational display by some young people in the 4-H Club in Arizona. Perhaps you aren't aware of that growing attempt to shame us into not eating beef on the grounds that we're feeding several pounds of grain to cattle for each pound of beef we get back. Now the argument goes that grain could be used to feed the worldwide famine victims. Well, the exhibit sponsored by these farm youngsters over in Arizona can be summed up in the words of a man who deals in meat. He says, there are four meat quarters in a beef animal. The fifth quarter is the byproduct. In a lot of ways, that fifth quarter has done more than the other four to enrich and even to lengthen our lives. Before we take too seriously those sincere but ill-informed people who see cattle as taking food from the hungry, let's take a look at that fifth quarter we don't see in the meat market. Without it, your tires might blow up in a mile and a half. One tire company alone uses about 20 million pounds of stearic acid a year. Stearic acid, a byproduct of the beef animal, is what keeps your tires cool. During last summer's beef shortage, this company had to cut back on production of tires. Here are some other things you won't see on a steakhouse menu. Products from the bones, horns, and hoofs. Glue, gelatin, including the edible kind used in ice cream, case-hardening steel, refining sugar, processed bone meal used as animal feed and fertilizer to grow more grain for the hungry. That's only the beginning. There's neat's foot oil, plaster retarder, foaming fire extinguisher, paper boxes, sizing, wallpaper, sandpaper, and emery cloth. Would you believe cosmetics, camera film, band-aids, spray-on adhesives, vitamins, violin strings, crochet hooks, combs, and toothbrush handles? In the field of pharmaceuticals, we truly get into the life-saving field with heparin, which keeps the blood from coagulating during an operation. It's also used in preventing blood clots. There are enzymes used to aid babies' digestion, epinephrine for asthma and allergies, adrenal cortex used in treating Addison's disease and to overcome shock. The list of really exotic medicines is too long for this time slot, but just as an example, we've known about diabetes since the 15th century. It took 400 years to find insulin, and we found it in the pancreas of cattle. Today, chemists feel they've only scratched the surface in developing useful things other than food from meat animals. As for that grain we're wasting, it is feed grain, not eaten by humans, and cattle only get that for about 100 days. Beef and dairy cattle provide two-thirds of our protein, and most of that comes from converting grass and brush on 40% of our land that would otherwise be waste because it couldn't be converted to raising crops. In the meantime, our farmers are exporting 75% of our wheat and 57% of our rice to that hungry world. Let's pat Bossy on the back with gratitude. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. When tax laws change, confidence matters. With the Big Beautiful Bill bringing new deductions, credits, and rules, your locally owned and operated H&R Block is here to help you make sense of it all. Our trusted tax pros stay up to date on the latest changes so you don't have to. H&R Block helps you get every dollar you deserve, fast, accurate, and stress-free. This tax season, trust H&R Block to help you navigate the Big Beautiful Bill with confidence. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your taxes done right.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And I suggest you go look today. John Belcher, attorney John Belcher, who is facing 12 charges of wrongdoing from the state bar, has now filed to resign from the bar. And let me explain how this works. You can't, they may not accept it. If you resign with charges pending, what happens is both the state bar and the California Supreme Court have to have hearings to determine if they're going to accept your resignation. Now, on the 7th of this month, he was in settlement talks with the state bar. They had it set up to last one day, and it could go to more days if they needed. They were in there 40 minutes, and it ended with, we can never meet a resolution. And one of the arguments that John Belcher has been completely going by was that first the $450,000 that I first couldn't give them back, we just got behind, and I didn't have the money anymore. But guess what? The DOJ looked into it, and DOJ filings, which the bar now has, and I don't know how they got them, or maybe I do, what the bar does have, show that their investigation showed that John Belcher used that 400, and I don't remember the exact amount, but he put a down payment on a house for his daughter and son-in-law in San Luis Obispo. That is where the money went. It's not that he spent too much on the investment. This was supposed to be investment into a project. It wasn't supposed to be so his kids could buy a house in Slo and have a nice down payment. But that is what happened. And for some reason, the argument at the bar went south. And then he filed on Friday a motion to abate. But John filed it wrong. John filed it without signing it. And a motion to abate means we're going to pause this for like five reasons. And I only saw two that could be possible. One is that you have Alzheimer's so bad you can't even work. Well, he's at pickleball tournaments. He clearly doesn't have Alzheimer's. The other one that might have been it is like you have indictments or other cases that these same allegations are going to be used for. And remember, he has been under a federal investigation regarding his wrongdoing with the bribery and the theft of funds from people in regards to his actions as a developer and allegedly bribing former supervisor Adam Hill. Go read the story. I don't think this case is going to end anytime soon, but that's not why we're here today. We're here today to talk about issues in the county of San Luis Obispo. As many of you know, we're going into election season. And during election season, you'll have people try to promote their favored candidates. And sometimes they even bring them in ahead of time and they make a plan and try to get their favorite candidates in. So right now, the supervisor in San Luis Obispo, District 2, is Bruce Gibson. Can't believe I... And Bruce Gibson wants his favorite candidate, a guy from L.A., who was moved here a few years ago and started working as the head of the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, was very pro-wind energy while he was first there. A lot of things are no longer online about that. But Bruce Gibson said, he's my favorite candidate. I want people who support me to vote for him. Meanwhile, the views of Bruce Gibson have changed massively. For example, someone moved to the county and beat Bruce, almost beat Bruce, lost by 14 votes. A new person in the county, Bruce Gibson only won by 14 votes when he used to win by a killing. Bruce Gibson did not do well in the past election, and currently the bulk of people in Morro Bay do not want a battery plant. They do not want offshore wind energy. Bruce Gibson's person has been in favor of the battery plants and in favor of wind energy. So this is going to be a very competitive race. His candidate is here today. His opponent is here today. That is Michael Aaron Woody. Michael Aaron Woody will be discussing what he stands for. And then Keith Gurney, longtime county resident. He was the youngest. Were you the youngest ever?
Yep.
San Luis Obispo City Councilman. What year were you there, Councilman?
1971, 24 years old.
So you're wow. Only 30 now.
But a little over 30
now. But Keith has also was one of the creators of RRM Design, knows a lot about government, a lot about public policy. He's been on a lot of public policy boards. He looked into the candidate that Bruce Gibson is promoting, Jim D'Antona, and I have to tell you, I have not met Jim D'Antona. I know that he is being promoted by Bruce Gibson, and I've noticed a few things about him, but we're going to be going over his background and what is going on here. Keith, thank you for coming on the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
And I'm going to start with you. What made you look into Jim D'Antona?
Well, I saw that he had announced his candidacy for Gibson's seat, and Gibson had endorsed him. And I just thought it was awfully strange that he would bring somebody onto his staff at county expense, taxpayers' expense, an unelected person to run for his seat to work in his office. And it just seems totally wrong to me. I can't believe that the Fair Political Practices Commission would look favorably upon what he's trying to do.
And does this have a lot to do with wind energy, or is it more about his past, or who is promoting him? What are your major complaints?
Well, the major complaint is Bruce Gibson. I mean, I've known Bruce for many, many, many years, and, you know, he is responsible for giving us Adam Hill. And his best buddy, and you remember all the things that I went through with Adam Hill.
Yes, and Bruce Gibson and Adam were very tight. But I think Don Ernst, the attorney Don Ernst, was one of the main people that helped Adam Hill get into power.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. But the notion of Gibson trying to essentially be there for four more years, even though he wouldn't be in the position, by getting his favorite son in there. I just can't imagine 25, 24 years of that kind of politics that we've had.
And so it's a lot about who is behind him and the problems in the county. And that, for those that don't watch the Board of Supervisor meetings, they became a bully pulpit for a few years. They would yell the mean anger if you didn't agree with them. A lot of bullying behavior, basically basic bullying behavior. And for those that don't remember Debbie Arnold got in an elevator when they didn't like her vote, and they got her in the corner and screamed and berated her in the elevator to where she wouldn't ride the elevator anymore. There's a special elevator for supervisors. Like she said it was so bad the spit was getting on her face from Adam Hill. I couldn't even imagine.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're,
wouldn't want to be in that space.
There should not have been. If someone doesn't agree with you, you do not have to yell, scream, and get angry.
Yep. Amen.
And that is, this is going to be, I think, a very interesting political season, because I don't think there's a clear winner on either of the races.
Well, I'm thinking that somebody is going to file a Fair Political Practices Commission complaint about him being paid county money to run for office when he's not an elected official.
Remember how we got here. Bruce Gibson decided he wasn't going to run, and then his administrative assistant took a job with Human Resources where his wife works, and then which is very common in this county. And then Bruce Gibson was going to bring his wife in and D'Antona in, but they were a little concerned that it could hurt D'Antona. So I heard about it probably a month before I wrote it. But I couldn't write it because D'Antona hadn't been approved by Human Resources yet. And then I ended up just putting up that the wife was working in the office. And then Bruce came out and said he was going to bring D'Antona in. But a lot of people say it does not pass the smell test.
Not at all.
And Mike, do you think it was pre-planned? Do you think he planned when his administrative assistant took a job with Human Resources that he was going to, because remember he said, I'm going to announce where I'm going, I'm going to announce who I want to follow me, and then his guy leaves and he's got, that guy is going to be the office assistant.
Yeah, it was really strange. I mean, you know, just to recap it real quick, you know, Bruce Gibson had his assistant, Blake, what was his name?
It was Blake something.
Thank you, Blake. So,
and he was well liked.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and I've never heard anything else besides that from constituents and whatnot. So he ended up leaving there, being transferred over to Human Resources, and the same Human Resources came in and approved and gave the green light for both his wife and for Jim D'Antona, his candidate that he's endorsing, to work in his office. That's when everything fell apart. We started bringing up saying, hey, listen, this is an FPPC violation. It's a conflict of interest. It's a financial conflict of interest. And that's when all the arrows from the community came after me until the Sacramento stepped in and said, oh, no, Michael Aaron Woody, he's right, by the way. Yeah, and you know, what you were writing in there and whatnot. So,
couldn't go. It was primarily right. That Bruce Gibson had been, Bruce Gibson was married. And he started flirting with a woman down, his current wife. She then worked in the county clerk recorder's office. He went in for months and flirted with her and then asked him to come work with her. And they started a 6 or 7 year affair. They broke up for a short time and then they got back together. And I will tell you, I had actually, Bruce Gibson's wife was aware of the affair. I had probably asked her a year and a half before that. I had asked her a question. I had someone call me who's, they were kissing in the garage a year or two before it became aware of what was happening. So, he thinks he can just move his girlfriend or wife into his office and give her a job. And that is a financial conflict.
Yeah, see, and this is where it gets kind of, you know, a fine line on FPPC violations, because what the FPPC has said in the past is, you know, he brought in his girlfriend at the time. And this is back in, 2011 or 2013 or whatever it was.
Years ago.
So what they tried to do today is he tried to bring in his wife, who was not on county payroll, was his wife, and then bring her in directly as a non-employee for the county. Well, that's a conflict of interest. That's completely different. And so that got all hashed out. You know, Bruce and D'Antona came after me with, you know, pointed arrows and everything else, and neither one's to this day has ever apologized to me, even in private. It's just a kind gesture to say, hey, listen, we're really sorry we got this one wrong on you. But it just felt really weird. How in the world did the Human Resources Department, who's being blamed for this, by the way, and County Council is being blamed for this, how in the world did his assistant start working for the Human Resources Department, then the same Human Resources Department gave a green light to all this illegal activity? It just felt really terrible.
Blake's wife is higher up in Human Resources. But again,
Wait. Blake's wife works in there?
Yes.
How did I just find this out?
Okay, here's the thing. This has been going on for years here. So Brooke brings his girlfriend in, and they go on trips together. We're going to go to Sacramento and spend a week during this thing and have fun. So Adam was dating a young woman, and Adam made her, she needed a job, so he made her his assistant. And then what happened was she was interviewed by the feds. And there were allegations that when they looked at his computer, there may have been things put on porn sites. And she wasn't aware.
That sounds like Adam.
And this is our county.
This can't be serious. This is county government. You cannot be serious.
And what happened was she got angry and she filed a claim against the county. This is before county. The days before Adam killed himself, he found out 3 days before that it was going to be brought up by the meeting. She had filed a claim for sexual harassment. But they were having sex before they were dating. They may have had sex at work. They may have done things. But he brought her in as his girlfriend, same thing Bruce did. You bring your girlfriend in. She's working in your office. And it was Human Resources over and over and over again signed off on it. In this case, they didn't pay her very much because they said you were doing this stuff with him when you were brought in. You can't say that he was sexually harassing you. You got the job because you were dating him already.
Right.
But we still, I think they paid her like $26,000 or something.
It was something like that.
It could be 14, it could be 30. I don't remember exactly. She did get a payoff. Mm-hmm. But 3 days after she filed that claim and a couple days before the meeting, Adam Hill committed suicide.
Well, just a little factoid. I grew up in the Bay Area, and before I came down here to go to Cal Poly, and Bruce Gibson's wife.
Wait. Well, let's go back to what's going on with Bruce Gibson's wife, what you knew then, after we take a break from our sponsor.
Okay.
News, I'm Tom Graham. Iranian officials signaling today there would be fast trials and executions for suspects detained in nationwide protests. Fox's Trey Ying says the number of killed in demonstrations also continues to climb.
Human rights organizations say the confirmed death toll in Iran now stands at more than 2,500 people. That number is expected to rise. This as ongoing demonstrations continue, albeit smaller, amid a brutal government crackdown.
President Trump has warned the U.S. military may take action over the killings. The Justice Department filing another lawsuit against Minnesota.
The Justice Department, which is suing Minnesota over a wide range of issues from sanctuary city policies to fraud, adds another lawsuit to the list. The DOJ said in a statement it is suing the state over its affirmative action program.
Fox's Carmen Roberts, America's listening to Fox News.
It's the time of the year that we reflect on how quickly the days, months, and years fly by. It's the end of one new year and the beginning of a new one. We think about the resolutions we made, the ones we kept, and the ones we didn't. Well, as the new year begins, it's time to clean the slate and resolve again. Well, here at Davis Body Shop, our New Year's resolutions haven't changed in over 50 years. And that's why we're still here, while others have come and gone. You see, our New Year's resolutions are simple. Being honest and fair, giving you the best value, and making sure your experience is a pleasant one. Oh, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee? That says it all. Happy New Year from the Davis family. Davis Body Shops on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Well, not all the time lately because I've had so many court dates. But anyway, and the problem is, it's not like I'm in court. It's that I get court dates and they constantly don't go to them. That morning I'll be called, oh, they put it off a month. And they're going to do this on this date and this on this date. So I get fill-ins and 90% of the time, nothing happens. So I'm not here as often as I used to be. But it's, and I'm actually not even in court either. But anyway, it's one of those things. But anyway, we are talking about what is going on with the county. I have Keith Gurney. I have Michael Aaron Woody. We're talking about basically Bruce Gibson is working to get a buddy, or not even know if he's a buddy, his favorite candidate elected. And we are talking a little bit about that. Before we went on to the break, you said that you knew a little bit about Bruce Gibson's wife. Tell me.
I went to grammar school and high school with her back in the Bay Area before I came down here and came to college at Cal Poly. Great lady. I'm not going to use her name, but we just had an annual high school reunion. I won't tell you how many, but was good to see her and talk to her. And it's really sad what he did to her.
Does she talk about it?
No, she doesn't want to talk about it too much.
I didn't think she did. And again, it was getting very blatant in the years before they broke it. They actually broke up and then got back together. For a short bit, they were both married, and it really tore apart the other family.
Yeah,
it tore apart two families.
She's too nice a girl to treat that way.
Yeah, and it's terrible when that happens to anybody, but to do it in such a public light, in a public way like that, I mean, it can be devastating to everybody. And that's what just kills me so much about the morality that we seem to have here in this county amongst county politics. There is no morality going on. It's almost like an odd free-for-all that, it's almost like a comedy skit. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. So you try to explain to people or friends of yours that are not from here, this is what's going on, and they look at you like, you must be exaggerating, making some of this up. And it's like, oh, no. It's documented. It's in the court documents. This is what's going on here in this county. And it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
And it does go into the courts. And I'll tell you, the perjury in courts is horrid. Just John Belcher. And again, he's up on charges right now. The federal case claims that he was part of falsifying documents. Then you have Judge Kelly said that he was putting in misinformation and incorrect evidence into the court. And it's kind of, there are certain attorneys that make it kind of their practice to put in doctored photos, doctored evidence. And it's a felony, but it's so common. Perjury is a felony.
Yes.
But right now I was told if we actually went after perjury, we could do nothing else because it's so common right now. Well, if you don't have honesty in the court, if Joe Blow is honest and Joe Smith is not honest, Joe Smith is going to win because he can lie better.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly how a lot of this system works. And it's really amazing to watch and have this, what I've always called this, like, echo chamber of arrogance that exists here in Slo County. You've got a group of people that all they do is they talk to themselves and talk to each other. Going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, we go back to that illegal violation and appointment of Bruce's wife. I mean, let's go back to that. When that was brought up, I brought up that was an FPPC violation and a violation conflict of interest. Karen, you brought up the same issues. Everybody pointed arrows at us and you said, know, you're the problem. How dare you question us? You're not fit for office. Well, okay, here we are today.
I was told human resources and county council said it's okay. And they know more than you. Yeah. That's what I'm always, when I question something, they 90% of the time, but... You know, human resources and county council, these guys give them the raises.
It's the echo chamber of arrogance. Yes, exactly.
The board of supervisors.
This just doesn't pass the sniff test.
But the raises they gave them, while they were asking them to do some of these things, they were getting more than 20% raises. Their salaries were doubling every 5 years. You know, this is when you're paid that kind of money, and then are you then going to do... you say, oh, yeah, what you want to do is fine. Bring your girlfriend in. Bring your wife in. Oh, yeah. And then Adam Hill did the same thing.
Yep.
Bruce brought his girlfriend in. He hired his girlfriend.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb when I say this, and some people are going to say I'm just being melodramatic when I say this. But because we have this culture that allows people to do this and to act this way over and over and over, and I'm going to be melodramatic, and you're going to throw something at me across the table when I say this. Because that's been allowed, and it required the FBI to step in and to draw the line on everything and say, wait a minute, this has got to come to an end. Because the community leaders didn't do their job, the government officials aren't doing their jobs, everybody's not doing their job by keeping everybody in check here and doing it correctly. If Adam Hill, if his feet would have been held to the fire when he first started going out of line, the reality is that the FBI would never have to have gotten involved, and the reality is that Adam Hill would be alive today. And I know that sounds melodramatic, but if you really think about it, if his feet would have been held to the fire when he first started getting out of line by our community leaders or our so-called community leaders, Adam Hill would not be dead today.
Well, as one of the people who brought his behavior to the fore, I mean, I used to go to the Board of Supervisors meetings, and he would call me all kinds of nasty names.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He didn't like you for some reason.
Yeah, jeez. But, yeah, what a piece of work.
And he was allowed to do that.
He's still around. I mean, he's still hanging around. He's been dead for what? How many years?
21?
I think it was 21 or 22, yeah.
Yeah,
the lingering stench of all of this.
And remember, Bruce Gibson and others said he was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're taking payments for your votes. How can anyone that's in government say you're a wonderful man? It wasn't that much money. I find that shocking.
Oh, it's
stunning.
He's
the most corrupt official I've seen in my over 70 years in this county.
Yeah, I can really understand that and relate to it. I've never been somewhere or lived somewhere where I have watched, you know, not just the elected officials. We're talking department heads. We're talking community leaders. We're talking an entire, what I keep calling the echo chamber of arrogance, that little clique of people that they all dole out the power between each other. They all cover for each other, and they all go to lunch together, and they all go to dinner together. They sit around, they text each other, and they all sit around and say, we're the smartest people in the room. Forget the constituents. Forget listening to these people over here. Don't listen to them. That's all nonsense. And so many of us, you know, continue to come forward and say, wait a minute, you can't do government this way. I mean, it's gotten so bad that we're not even talking about issues at this point. You know, we're not talking about the grander issues, you know, like whether it be wind farms, battery plants, or even the water issues out in Los Osos, where Bruce Gibson's allowing for development out there and Jim D'Antona is backing all of this. I mean, it has gotten to the point where we're now dysfunctional as a community in terms of actually getting things done in this region.
We're going to take our top of the hour break, a word from our sponsors, And we'll be back with more with Michael Aaron Woody and Keith Gurney.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.